morning. Today's up in Baba Basra is Samach Zion. We're in Samach Vav Amud Beis. We are right in the middle of the Amud. It's a very short Amud. Right in the middle of the Amud with the words by Rav Yosef. The Rav Yosef asked the following question. We had a lengthy discussion in the Gemara yesterday regarding things which are connected and disconnected to the ground. Things which are part of the ground, like a house, which is built onto the ground, and foundation is built into the ground. So that's considered mechub lekarka, that's connected to the ground, and therefore has the status of karka. For our purposes in the fourth parak of Baba Basra, we're interested in these halachas basically as a result of the fact that we want to know what's included and not included in the sale. So when you sell a house, what's included in the sale of the house? But we also are having a discussion regarding other items that are may or may not be considered connected to the ground. So let's say things that were fashion and form disconnected from the ground, but then connected to the ground and then attached to the ground. So that presented itself yesterday seemingly as a machlokus between Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim as to whether or not something which was made as a kli, disconnected and then connected to the ground, is that now have the status of mechub lekarka? Is that considered connected to the ground? So the simplest way to say is that Rabbi Elazar holds that it's mechub lekarka, it's connected to the ground. Yesterday's daf, we went over four different halachas in terms of how that manifests itself practically speaking, in terms of kinyanim, you acquire it the same way you acquire property. In terms of making a prusbul, you can make a prusbul on behalf of the borrower in the event that he has something which is connected to the ground. It's not mekabel tumah, and if you the example that we talked about yesterday was a beehive. If the beehive, which obviously started apart from the ground and then connected to the ground, if you take honey from the beehive, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's tolish mina mechubar. You are now picking something up that was connected to the ground, and therefore you are going to be chayv kamer chatos. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that all these things are considered not mechubar lekarka, but disconnected from the ground. And yesterday we discussed in the context of the tzinor and the pipe, there's a brisa that we talked about, which goes all the way back to Samach Hamed Beis, where the pipe was fashioned into a pipe and then put into the ground, and the brisa says that's Maim She'uvim. However, if you put the block of wood into the ground and then you fashion to the pipe, so that's not Maim She'uvim. And what we struggled with yesterday is that the brisa obviously is taking some sort of middle approach, meaning that if you make the pipe before you put it in, oh, that's a kli. If you make it after you put it in, oh, that's karka. So the brisa is somewhere in the middle. So yesterday we spent a lot of time trying to work out who the author of that brisa is and why the brisa is taking somewhat of a middle position. If I make a pun, the brisa takes middle ground. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, we move along by Rav Yosef. We're in the middle of the Amud on Samach Vav Amud Beis, and Rav Yosef now asks the following question. Megashamim Shechashav Aleim. I think I did it yesterday, but that was the Gemara's answer. Yeah. I think so. Okay, I mean you can play the tape. By Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following question. Okay, so there was a ring around the mill. Okay, now again, you really don't ask me much. I don't understand. You know, I'm not agricultural in nature. But I do know the following. The Strobelim, that mill ring, is something which was, again, placed into the ground and doesn't have the status of karka. So once again, it's subject to a debate. If you go back to the Mishnah, back on Samachay Med Aleph talks about the sale of the house and what is included and what's not included. And then the Mishnah on Samachay Med Aleph is that your Machar says Strobelim, if you sell this mill ring, so then the Kelis HaHapir doesn't come along with it, because according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the mill ring is considered something which is connected to the ground. Okay, and the Brisa yesterday, the Brisa yesterday quoted the Shita Rabbi Eliezer that says Kol Mechub LaKarka Reka Karka. Okay, so the mill ring is for sure considered karka. So by Rav Yosef asked the following question: if I have rainwater Shechashav Aleim LaDiach Esay Strolim, and I want the rainwater in order to wash off the mill ring is dirty, it needs to be washed, and the rainwater is there and it's providing an excellent bath for the mill ring. So Ma Lizraim, so now is that rainwater going to be considered Mechub LaKarka? And what's that issue over here? So quickly, let's take a look at the Rashbam. By Rav Yosef Megishamim, there's just the basic background information that we need to know. The Rashbam writes, "Shayu yardim v'chishev aleim shiadichoit shrab lemao she'osan gishamim yachshir zraim im nafal aleim lekabel tumah." Did not. So first, the Rashbam restates the Gemara's question, and the Rashbam starts off by quoting the first Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin. And the Mishnah reads, "Kol mashke shetchilasu l'ratzon afa pishen sofa l'ratzon machshir." So we start off with the following basic rule, and that is that if I have a liquid, in order for a food to become tame, the food has to come into contact with one of seven different liquids. One of those liquids is water. So here's the most basic rule. In order for the water to be machshir, in other words, the water is going to come into contact with the fruit or with any food, in order for that food to become mukshir l'kabel tumah, now susceptible to tumah, I have to want the water to come into contact with the food. If it's just incidental contact, that doesn't make the fruit mukshir l'kabel tumah. Now, what if I originally wanted it to go on an item and then subsequently fell on the food? That good. That checks. And that's the first Mishnah in Machshirin. Now I'm going to read the Mishnah again. If the original reason why I want the liquid to come into contact with an item is because it was intentional, it was not incidental, so then even postscript, even afterwards, if the subsequent contact with a fruit is incidental, still, that's going to be considered mukhshir l'kabel tumah. Now these troubles dirty, and I want these troubles to get washed, and so therefore the water that hits the istrobel, that is intentional, not incidental, and so therefore that water, if subsequently falls on food, it's going to be machshir l'kabel tumah. Alpha gav dolo nichale b'yiridasan al haperos havei hechshir uvelvav she'istrobel chashav ketalosh. But there's another requirement, and that's the following. In order for the intentional contact of the liquid to be considered significant, it has to be that's coming into contact with something which is detached from the ground. If it just hits the ground, that is not going to start the process of hechsher. The Rashbam writes, "Delomahani machshavasav v'lo karin be v'chiyitain or chiyutan elahechad machashav shiyadu al davar talush." It has to come into contact with something detached. Kedamin beperakam deshchitas chulin. And again, the Rashbam takes us to another place, and that's the beginning of chulin, the first perak of chulin. Talush v'sof chaver le'inyan hechsher zrayim machlokis denan hakof v'kara agabe akosel parchin and reishal asefa v'daykina menade kosel binyan chashav talush v'im chishav shiyuda charezeh bayi b'chiyut. If I have something which is absolutely connected to the ground, like the wall of a cave, so then the contact of that liquid with something which is absolutely connected to the ground is not going to start the hechsher process. Okay, and if you want a source for this, so he sends us to Torah's Kohanim, although quite frankly, he doesn't tell us where in Torah's Kohanim, so we have to know Torah's Kohanim both backwards and forwards. I happen not to know, but okay. In other words, but that's a primary source in terms of where this halacha comes from. Now, our mill ring is something which was first attached and then connected to the ground. Now, question becomes, when I have now the rainwater falling on each struble, so again, we know the rules. The rules are, as long as I want it to have contact with something disconnected from the ground, so that's going to start the heksher process. So that means that if the water subsequently falls on food after it hits something detached from the ground, so then it's going to be mukhshir l'kabel tumah. So I got the rules down. Now the area of suffix of doubt is the each strobel. Is it considered something which is connected or disconnected from the ground? Okay, that's the question. Good. So,
how about the zeloin?
No, no, the Zerayim have to be detached. Meaning the Zerayim connected to the ground. Right. Right. So Aliba, you're right. But that's part of the question. Mal Zerayim Aliba the Rabbi Elazar Eliezer Damar Kol Mechub LaKarka Reka Karka Lo Tibaylach. So the Gemara says, look, I know Rabbi Eliezer's viewpoint. Because when something was originally detached, but then you connected it to the ground, it has the status of Karka. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. We saw that in yesterday's Brysa, excuse me. We saw that in Rabbi Eliezer's Brisa. We saw, okay, let's leave it at that. So we know the Shita Rabbi Eliezer, and that means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, when the rainwater falls on these trouble is, even though originally disconnected, now it's connected to the ground, it's part and parcel of the ground, it's karka, and therefore the heksher process has not started. That's clear. The Gemara says, I'll tell you where there's room to entertain this question. The Gemara says, I'll tell you where the question presents itself, and that's according to the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, is each trouble part of the ground or is it not part of the ground? Gemara says, I don't know, teku. Now, why don't we know? So, why don't we know? So the Rashbam goes on to explain. The last Rashbam on the Amud. Dahan Rabban de Now look, we know the Chachamim argue in Rabbi Eliezer. So it's interesting, is what the Rashbam now needs to explain is, once we know they argue with Rabbi Eliezer, so then clearly we would know then that it's not connected to the ground, even though I put into the ground, it's not connected to the ground, and therefore you would think that it should result in Heksher. That's what you would think. So the Rashbam goes on to explain it's still going to be a kasha, and not only is it a kasha, the Gemara leaves it off in a teku. Why should that be? So the Rashbam goes on to explain. Is it a fundamental position? Meaning, is it that since it started off as a detached item, even though I connect it to the ground, it's still considered detached? Meaning it's fundamental. That the only thing that's considered karka is only something which primarily was built into the ground. So then that would mean that in terms of a sale, it's not part of the sale of the house, because house is property, and the grindstone, the ring of the grindstone, in other words, all these things that were built apart from the ground and put into the ground are not considered part of the ground. And it's just a fundamental principle. And if that's true, the Rashbam says, so then we're great. Then we understand. Then we would know the answer to the question. Here, in our case, if the rainwater fell on the in trouble and then it fell on food, and I wanted the trouble to get wet, so then we would know that the heksher process has begun. Because the trouble is considered something detached from the ground. That's great. They came into time, I'm Mishim Dechashiv Leitosh, Lomi Baye Hechad Dechashiv, Ladiach Machtechash Kavua Demachshirin, Alafil Chashiv Ladiach Behemet. Trouble, machshir tzrayim. Da al karchich time mayu gabi trouble. Damri machor lo mishum dechashim mechubar. Da gabi mecher mechteshes chashur leila talish levesof chibru. Kitalish veitz trouble nami. I know I'm reading a lot, but it's all one sentence. Veitz trouble nami talish levesof chibru hu. Dekodim shikvena bekarka havi banui veomein. The trouble, something that's built apart from the ground, put into the ground, therefore is considered something which is not connected to the ground. It is talish. So that's all one side of the question. So one side of the question is that it's a fundamental issue. That when I make something apart from the ground, even though I put it into the ground, even though I nail it into the ground, still it's considered talish. Fine. That's all side A, and if that's side A of the question, so then the trouble is considered talish, and therefore in terms of the question of heksher, it is the heksher process has begun. Okay, good. Now, what's the other side? Continuing in the Rashbam. The Rashbam now, we're in the very top of Samach Zayim and Aleph in the Rashbam. We are, I'm starting from the first, I'm sorry, second line down. Ve'ela, ha'vebanu ve'omid. Ve'ela, ha'in tamay mishum de'ikar, si'asal l'kviyas b'kar, k'tayim ha'machzayim, I'm sorry. It's trouble. Not me. Tell us all the stuff. Chibrahu dekom shikvena bakarka. Have a banav amay. So ve'ela. Sorry. Second line down. Right in the middle of the line. Ve'ela. Hainu tamayim mishum deikras yasal lekvias bakarka. Tvei memachteshes chashiv kabayis leinyan mechiras bayis dumya dekos lehabayis dechashiv italosh leinyan hechshes zrayim. So it could very well be that maybe no. Maybe that as far as each trouble is concerned, since when I built it with the intent of putting it into the ground, even though I built it apart from the ground. But my intention was to build it into the ground. So in terms of a question of whether or not it's considered part of the ground, so maybe we would say that it is part and parcel of the ground. If it's part and parcel of the ground, why is it not including the sale? Ulagabi mecher harein bechlal buys for chashiva kakarka. Oh, I'm sorry. That's all side A. Sorry. Oh, Dilma, timeout. Gabi machzeshes mishum dibe ayin ra'a mocher. Aval gabi hechshir bekarka mashvile kakarka mashvile. Or maybe no. Maybe that really it is considered part of the ground. The strobel. And then why is it not considered part of the sale? It could be that that's a function of sale. Meaning that, like we've discussed and debated time and again, when a seller sells, is he selling with generosity or is he selling with a stingy eye? So as a result of that, maybe we could say that halakhically speaking, it is considered part and parcel of the ground. In terms of the heksher process, maybe the heksher process does not begin because it's considered mechubal karka, and maybe vis-a-vis the sale, it's not going to be a sale because people sell with a ayin ra, nine ayin yafeh. Okay, and then the Rashbam goes on to explain to discuss who the halacha falls like. He believes that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, and we'll talk more about that in just a bit. Okay, so that's just another permutation of this halacha of when something was made apart from the ground and then put into the ground, is it considered karka? Is not considered karka? So again, just to simply summarize, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is considered karka. Unequivocally, and therefore for Rabbi Eliezer, it's part of the sale. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if the water comes into contact first with the strobel and then with the food, the heksher process has not begun. Because again, the nature of heksher is that it first has to come into contact with something disconnected from the ground. If it starts with hitting something connected to the ground, the heksher process has not begun. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's for sure considered karka. Masha Enkin, according to the Chachamim, something disconnected and then put into the ground, is that considered karka? Unclear. Meaning, you could make an argument that it's fundamentally not connected to the ground and not considered mechubal karka, or you can make the argument that no, maybe it is considered connected to the ground, but vis-a-vis mecher, maybe mecher would be different because people sell ba'ayin ra. So that part the Gemara leaves as a taker. Samach Vav Amid Beis, last three lines. Shalach le Rav Nechemia Bered Rav Yosef Rabba Bered Rav Huna Zutil Anarda. So the following correspondence was sent from one Amora to another Amora. Ki Asya Hachisus Ala Kamach. So a woman comes to us and she wants to know Agbe Iser Nachse. Now she wants to collect her 10%. What are we talking about 10%? We're talking about the 10% of her estate. Okay, the Rashman points out over here is Nachse. Shabbos tells him Nichse Avia Bishwal Parnasas Habaal Lihinase Bo. So generally speaking, when a woman gets married, so her father gives her a dowry to kickstart the marriage. So if the father's alive, so the dowry is going to be whatever the father decides. Meaning the father obviously is in control of of his bank account, and whatever he deems appropriate to give to his daughter, so that's what he's going to give. What if the father died, and now it's the estate supplying her with a dowry? So what is she getting from the estate? So typically, what she gets is Iser Nechasim. She gets 10% of the estate. The Gemara elsewhere asked the question: if there are 10 daughters, does that mean that the daughters get the entire estate and the son get nothing? Okay, the Gemara asked that question elsewhere. The answer is no. By the way, the answer is. It's 10% of the remainder. It's not 10% of the total, of the original. Okay. Anyway, so v'kaim lam b'ksuvus l'parnasa shamim ba'av v'hechadein yodim daito natalos yisur nechasim u'mimikarkev l'metalte gadamar b'ksuvus. The Gemara in Ksuvus says, well, 10% is not only the default position if we don't know. Meaning, if we knew Dad. You know, and we were there at the eulogies, and everyone talked at the eulogy of how generous Dad was. And everybody knows that Dad was the most generous guy. And if we would have known that Dad would have given more than 10% for his daughter, so then, not sure how we arrive at a number, but then you give based on what Dad would have given. Obviously, that's a projection. But that would be a determination. If, however, we really don't know how much Dad would give, so then 10% becomes the default setting of what the estate is going to be providing for this daughter in order to get married. Fine. So, and by the way, the Gemara in Ksuvos refers to this as Parnasa. Okay, that's the term they used to describe it. And furthermore, it only comes from Karka, it doesn't come from Metalta. In other words, so it only comes from the estate, but only comes from property of the estate, not movable assets. Okay, with all that in mind, so now, she's coming to collect her 10% from the estate, and now it's part of the estate. So agba iser nachse afilu mitzrabel l'rechaim. So what about the mill ring? So here we go again. So the mill ring is something that was created outside of the land and then put into the property. Right, again, structurally, I'm not 100% sure, but somehow nailed into the property. And so now, again, we're back to our basic question of, is it considered karka, is not considered karka? And here's another nafkamin, here's another practical difference. Because vis-a-vis her dowry that she's receiving from the estate, it's only coming from property, it's not coming from movables. So now, is the mill ring going to be considered part of her part of her dowry that she's able to collect? So the Gemara doesn't even ask it as a question, the Gemara just simply says it as a statement. Yes, agba iser nachse afilu mitzrabel derechaim. Yes, you do. You collect it even from the strobli, meaning it is considered part and parcel of the ground. And now the Rashbam writes, now the Rashbam wrote this before, I just skipped it before, but the Rashbam writes, and what do you see over here? That on this regard, we follow like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Rashbam afilu mitzrobli. Ki Rabbi Eliezer dechol mechubel karka hareu kakarka. Upirsha ben chanana v'kaimel anhachi. So the Gemara says, and that's going to be the halacha, right? It's interesting, meaning, generally speaking, on the machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Eliezer, we don't normally paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Here's an interesting occurrence where we do paskin like it. And Rashbam quotes Rabbeinu Chanana, the halais man de paligala. You notice in the Gemara, no one's arguing, meaning this is a very clear position the Gemara is taking, obviously grounded. I'm just full of puns today. Obviously grounded in the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so in other words, so the halacha is going to go like Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara says that you're collecting from the mill ring, which was again built apart from the land, put into the land, it's considered karka. Now, the afilu bezman is that this next part of the Rashbam is interesting, I'm going to read it. The afilu bezman hazeh d'ha be'ejah pasuk rava beperek metzias ha'isha hilchasa mimikarka v'la memetalteli bein l'ksuva bein l'mazoni bein l'mparnasa. Now the Gemara in Ksuva is unequivocal. The Gemara in Ksuva says that when the estate is paying off a woman, whether they're paying off her Ksuva, whether they're paying off her mazonas, whether they're paying off the parnasa, that's the dowry that we're talking about right now. So the Gemara in Ksuva says very clearly, all those payments come from land, do not come from movables. That's the Gemara in Ksuva. And so therefore, by our discussion of dowry, so it only comes from land, it doesn't come from movables. The Rashbam, however, points out that, you know, things changed since the time of the Gemara. You know, I don't normally say that. The things changed since the time of the Gemara. The Alpha Gav de Rabbi Zeno Agaonim Tiknu Legabas Ksuva Afil Memetaltele. Govim gam mizone afil metatale. You know, there was an institution made by the Gaonim. So this is post-Gemara, during the time period of the Gaonim. The Gaonim said, look, back in the time of the Gemara, so do you know that property was like a real asset? Like, everyone had property. Meaning, I'm only conjecturing now. This is speculation on my part. I think it also has a lot to do with the fact that the Jews, generally speaking, lived in a single place for a very long time. So therefore, it's much easier to talk in terms of property. You know, but when you're constantly in motion and you're moving from one country to another country, so obviously your assets are going to be more liquid and they're not going to be based on property. Okay, everything I just said was just my speculating. I also like it. I'm with you, but okay. But in the meantime, however, but what I could say flatly, because the Rashbam says, and he quotes in the name of the Gaonim, is that at the time of the Gaonim said, you know what? We to further protect women, so we're going to allow the ksuva to be paid even with money. The Gemara says no. The Gemara says that you can only pay the only lien that the estate has for the payment to the ksuva is only coming from the property. And the same thing is true with Mazonos. And the same thing is true with Parnassah. So the Rashbam notes that the Gaonim did change that, and the Gaonim allowed for money to be paid, a woman to be able to collect her ksuva with money, Mazonos with money. The Rashbam is going to point out, however, but I'm going to stop it right there. Not Parnassah. The Alpha Gav de Rabbi Zeno Gaonim Tikna Lagabas Ksuva Filim Mimetaltele Govin Gam Mimazone Filim Mimetaltele Dehai Kaimalan Tanai Ksuva Kiksuva Dami. And we know that the rule is, the principle is that Tanai Ksuva mitzvahs like suva, meaning there are certain built-in stipulations that are written into the ksuva, even if they're not actually written in. It's what the Gemara refers to as tanai ksuva. So including that, of course, is the ksuva payment and the mizonos. These are all built-in, understood conditions of marriage, and so therefore, when the Gaonim expanded that her payment can not only come from land, but can also come from money as well, so that's going to be true for Ksuva, and that's going to be true for Mizonos as well. But Hani Milib Ksuva Mizone, Ava HaParnasa Eino Mitanai Ksuva. But this idea of dowry, it's not part of Tanai Ksuva. If you think about it, of course it's not part of Tanai Ksuva. It has to do with him and his daughter. It doesn't have to do with him and his wife. Him and his daughter, that's not a Ksuva issue. That's it's a father-daughter issue. That's a different institution. It's a different takana. Hilkach b'mkoma omedet. So therefore the Rashbam says, and this, I don't think it changes, and therefore, mimikarke gabe v'la metaltle. So when it comes to the dowry, so that only comes from karka, that doesn't come from metaltle. Okay, super interesting Rashbam. We just have two more lines to finish till we get to the next Mishnah. We're on the top of Samach Zayin Amad Aleph. Am Rav Ashi Ki Avinu Bei Rav Kahana Magbin Afilo Me Amla Debate. So Rav Ashi points out that we were in Rav Kahana's house, so the collection that was for the Parnasa came even from rent. Right? The last Rashbam before the Mishnah. Miskiris abartim de mikarke chashiv le dischar mikarke chashiv mikarke. Just as another interesting principle, that is, income generated from land has a halachic status of land. So therefore, if you have land, if you have properties that are rentals, and it's generating an income, that income now falls under the category of property, and therefore can be applied towards Parnasa, Ksuva, and Mizonos. Okay, very good. Okay, Mishnah.
When there's a rent that it wasn't paid yet.
I kind of hear you, but I don't know. Okay. Hamocher es achatzer. We are on the next Mishnah. We're on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Now, I'm going to remind you, we saw a Rashbam on Samach Hamad Beis. I want to just reread the Rashbam again. The Rashbam, Harei Kula Mechur, it's the first Rashbam on the Amud, and he gives us a great klal, a great rule to recognize in terms of the sale. We're talking about the sale of houses, now we're talking about the sale of courtyards, and eventually we're going to talk about the sale of a city. Okay? Private city, obviously. And the Rashbam notes that the greater the amount of property that you sell, the more that's included in the sale. So I'm reading the line of the Rashbam that we saw back on Samach Hamad Beis. Klala de Milsa. The general rule is called Mecher Hagadol Mechavero Riba Limkor Yoser Hagadol Lefi Gadlo VaKatan Lefi Katno. Okay, so basically, the greater the sale, the more inclusive is going to be the things incorporated in that sale. It's great. It's a great way to just generally view it. And now we speak specifically. We start with the Mishnah on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. Hamocher Sechatzer. You sell a courtyard. Macher Batim. So including that is going to be the sale of houses. Meaning the courtyard is in general a more expansive piece of property, and therefore houses are included. Bar and Shichon Amaros, and also pits. Now obviously, you can see already the difference between the sale of a chatzer and the sale of a house. Look, we talked about the sale of a house. The pit was in the house. It was underneath the house, and that wasn't included in the sale. But meanwhile, when you're selling the chatzer, again, it's a more expansive area, and therefore there's going to be more included in the sale, right? You see it. So Macher Batim Bar Shichon Amaros. But movable items that are in the chatzer, so that's not included in the sale. However, if in the contract of the chatzer, the sale of the chatzer, it says everything and the contents therein, so then it's going to include even the movables that are on the chatzer. Under both circumstances, under both circumstances, the bathhouse and the olive press are that are in the chutzah are not going to be considered part of the sale. It's not functionally part of chutzah. They are independent items, and therefore they're not included in the sale. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Amocher is a chutzah, Lamacher el avir shel chutzah. Now, Rabbi Lazar fundamentally disagrees, and he says that when you sell the chatzir, the only thing included in the chatzir, in the sale of the chatzir, is only open areas of the chatzir, and The boros are not considered part of the sale, and Sir Rabbi Elazar fundamentally disagrees in terms of what is included in the sale of the chatzah. Again, the Rashbam over here repeats an idea that we said before, but the Rashbam says it. The last Rashbam on the Mishnah, what about price? Isn't price going to be dictating what's going to be part of the sale? And the Rashbam reminds us the answer to that is no. Price is not going to be an indicator of what's included in the sale. V'damim odiyam leika lememar. I'm reading the last words of the Rashbam. It's the last Rashbam on the Mishnah. As far as money being an indicator, we don't say that. De'ei no na l'karkos, because the Rashbam says, as we said before, because there is no ona when it comes to karka, we really can't put a definitive price on property. And so therefore, people overpay, people underpay. In other words, there's so much fluctuation and variance when it comes to the sale of property, so price is not going to be an indicator. Tanu, yeah.
Why does the Mishnah have to mention the middle? Okay, it's obvious if he says everything's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's so funny. I paused in the Mishnah when I read that line. I'll say it now. So I'm glad you brought that up. Even when he says all the contents therein, it doesn't include everything. So the
No,
I understand. But even when you write in the contract, everything that's included, so everything is sold. When we say everything, we don't really mean everything. In fact, if you take a look at the Rashbam over here, right, Hare Kula Mechur, and everything is sold. I should have read this Rashbam before. But anyway, HaMetaltan Tashmisha Bais Kulan Deikru Metaltale Kedamin Lekaman B'misha Meis Mani Tashmishta Ikru Metaltale V'lo Chiti V'sa'are. So the Rashbam points out, yes, everything in the courtyard is sold, but everything meaning everything as an instrument for usage of the chatzar. But let's say there's wheat and barley in the chatzar. Is that including the sale? So the Rashbam says, no, that's not including the sale. Meaning the metalton that we speak about over here are movable items like, I'm giving examples, rakes and shovels and hammers, things that are used for the chatzar itself. But wheat and barley, if it's just sitting in the chatzar at the time, that's not including the sale, even though the contract said and everything in it.
How does one convert this into Kinyan Agav?
No, in other words, no, it could be, again, there are two separate issues. In other words, there's how to make a Kinyan, and then there's what's included in the Kinyan. So in terms of how to make a Kinyan, you're absolutely right. That metaltan can be purchased with the karka. We're discussing right now what's included in the Kinyan, what's included in the sale. So again, that the whole perek is dealing with, it was unspoken, and there are default assumptions, and what are those default assumptions? That's what we're discussing. And even when written in the contract and everything in all the contents of the chatzer, still as a default assumption, it's only referring to those instruments needed for the chatzer. Start with the Gemara. We are on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, less than halfway down on the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan Mocher Es HaChatzer Macher Batim Achitzon, is when you sell a chatzer. So what's included? So the Brice over here is going to be a little bit more descriptive, a little bit more detailed than the Mishnah was. So including the sale, but it's the same basic idea. Meaning when you're selling a chatzer, more is included. So what's that more? HaMocher Es HaChatzer Macher Batim Achitzonim. You're selling the outer houses, Batim Apnimim, the inner houses, Ubeis HaChulsa Os. It's a funny term. Beis achul sa'os. You take a look at the Rashbam. It's the second Rashbam in the Gemara. Prach, Perish Rabbeinu Chananel. So he quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, Karka she'efro chol she'matziyam imena zechuchis. So it's interesting. So it is a part of the chatzer where it's basically made up of sand, not dirt. And what you could do is you could turn that into glass. You could have made the argument, meaning why would you have thought that that's not part of the sale? Because it's not land that I'm going to plant in and I'm going to produce a yield. It is different, and so therefore it's sand. And so therefore I might have thought that's not including the sale. So that's why the Brice that comes to teach me that that is considered part of the sale. Okay. The back to the Brisa. And even if you have a store where the store is primarily, now I'm adding the word primarily, and you'll see that's based on the Gemara coming up in just a moment. If the store is primarily opened up into the courtyard, so that means that that's part of the courtyard and therefore including the sale. If the store is not primarily opened up into the courtyard, it's opened up into the outside, into another area, so it's not part of the sale. Psuchos lekan lekan. Now, what if it's open up to both? Eilu ve'elu nim karsima. So then they're going to be included in the sale. Rabbi Eliezer Omer amocher sechatzer lamacher ella milusa shochatzer. So this Rabbi Eliezer is a parallel to the Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, which is of the opinion that when you're selling a courtyard, you're only selling the open spaces of a courtyard. In the Mishnah, the terminology that he uses is avir shel chatzer. Here in the Brisa, milusa shel chatzer. Again, another unusual word. Amar. Okay, so we quoted the Brisa and the Gemara Kedarka Bekodesh dissects the Brisa line by line. Amar Psuchos Lakan, not word by word. Actually, here it's just one phrase. Amar Psuchos Lakan Lakan Anim Karos Ima. You have a store in the courtyard. It has two openings, one into the courtyard and one to another area. So the Brisa says that it is part of the sale of the courtyard. Now we have a Brisa Rabbi Chia who says that it's not included in the sale with the courtyard. So Lokasha Hadarov Tashmisha Lagav Hadarov Tashmisha Labar. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you, in other words, even with two openings, there's a primary and there's a secondary. So you establish what the primary opening is, the primary access point, and that will be the determinant of whether or not it's included or not included in the sale. If it's Lagav, if the primary opening of the store is going into the chatzer, it's including the sale of the chatzer. If the primary opening of the store is going outside the chatzer, so it's not including the sale of the chatzer. Very straightforward. Rav Elazar Omer Amocher Sachatzer Lamacher El Avir Shel Chatzer Amar Rabba. Ida Amale Dirta. Now there are a couple of expressions that are used in Aramaic to describe a chatzer. There's the word dirta, there's the word darta, without the yud, and there's, of course, the word chatzer. So, again, hard to speak because we don't speak this language, meaning as much Aramaic as we know, but still, it's not our spoken language, so we're not sensitive to the subtleties of the language. So what the Gemara now is saying is that some of this language is more conducive to inclusion, and some of the language is more conducive to exclusion. And so what we're going to learn in the next couple of minutes is we're going to familiarize ourselves with the subtleties of the Aramaic language. And again, it's good when you're buying and selling in Bavel circa 5th century. Okay, obviously, we made this point at the beginning of the perek. You know, obviously, a lot of this perek is really revolving around what people mean when they speak terms, definition of terms. So that's what the Gemara is going to be doing in the next couple of lines. So, Amar Rabbi Amar Le Dirta, if you say the word Dirta, so Dekuli Amar Lo Pligi Debate Mashma, so everyone's in agreement, meaning, even though our Mishnah and the Brisa had a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, what is included in the sale of the Chatzar, when you use the word Dirta, that's an expansive term, that's an inclusionary term, and therefore, no one argues that the houses are going to be included in the sale. Ki Pligi Amar Le Darta, but if you say the word Darta, Mar Savar Tarvitza Mashma, Mar Savar Bati Mashma, so there's a debate whether or not it's just a reference to the chatzer or the houses are included as well. Eka Damer, the Gemara is another version of this statement that we just said, that we just made. Amar Rabbi Damer Le Darta, when using the term Darta, Dekule Amar Lo Pligi Debate Mashma. Darta is an inclusionary term, expansive, and includes houses. The point of dispute between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is when you're using the word chatzer. Masavar chatzer avira mashma, or masavar kechatzer amishkan. So the term chatzer, is it just a term describing only the open area, the avira? So Rabbi Eliezer says yes, chatzer is only a reference to the avira. And meanwhile, what's the Chacham's counter argument? You know, we have a term chatzer used when describing the Mishkan. Now, in the Mishkan, chatzer includes a lot of things. The Rashbam writes, Chachamim sarvi chatzer kechatzer Mishkan, meaning that the Torah here will basically become our dictionary in terms of what does chatzer mean. Chatzer, even though, again, it's, you know, very often we divide the Gemara does this, the Lashon Shel Torah versus the Lashon of Chachamim. Right? In other words, the dialects change and expressions change, but still, in this regard, the Torah can help us define what chatzer means. I'm reading the Rashban. Chachamim sarvi chatzer kechatzer mishkan kidechsev orich chatzer me'abama v'ruchiv chamishim bechamishim. So we know that the entire area of the chatzir is 100 by 50, 500 square amas. Of a chal elu kufama kodesh hakadoshim ve'olam moed shem kamobatim. And in this area of the mishkan, what's included within the purview of this area? So we have the building, the kodesh hakadoshim. So In a parallel sense, those are considered like the housing. The karna kasav chatzir mikansha batim nimkar bechlal chatzir. Kain perish Rabbeinu Chananel. That's Rabbeinu Chananel's understanding of how chatzir can, according to the Chachamim, can be an inclusionary term. Okay, v'amar Rabba. Another statement made by Rabba. We're on Samach Zayinam and Aleph, five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rav Nachman machalo chulsis umetzula. Let's say two pieces of property were included in the sale. One was a chulsis and the other one was a metzula. What are each one of these? A metzula. So, take a look at the Rashbam. Karkas anar shematzim bo kesef v'zav kein perish Rabbeinu Chananel v'yish mefarshim ledagim. Okay, it's some sort of riverbed where I'm going to go fishing. Now, what am I going to go fishing for? Okay, so either you're going to be panning for gold, or you're going to be fishing for fish. Either way, you're getting a shallow riverbed. That's the metzula. And what's the chulsis? So the chulsis is what we said earlier. It's basically the sand. The sand that I'm going to be taking and using in order to make glass. Okay, there are other pshatim, but that's the first pshat in the Rashbam. We read it earlier. We're going to stick with that. Okay, now if I do chazak on one, so let me read the Gemara again. I'm Rav Nachman Machlo Chulsis and Metzula. So the sale of two different types of properties. Hechzik b'chulsis lo kana metzula. Hechzik b'metzula lo kana chulsis. So doing a chazak on one does not automatically acquire the other. Okay, now the Rashbam says we're not talking about cheskes gimel shanim. We're talking about chazaka over here as a proprietary act, as an act of kinyan. And doing one will not get you the other. Why not? The Rashbam writes, lo kana mitzula. It's the second to last Rashbam on the Amud. Shari shnei tashmishin hein. Because from a functional standpoint, these are two different pieces of property. Zelechol v'zele kesef v'zahav. One is for the sand and the other one is to mine gold, for panning for gold. Ushnei shemosein. And so they have two different names. Two different names meaning two different purposes. V'afa pishas muchen zelez. And even if they're proximate to one another. Lama han yecheskes chulsus liknos mitzula. V'ayinu taim edemehai kray nafkal an cheskes hakone karka b'meseches kedushin. V'shavu ba'arechem asher tafastem ba'meh tafastem b'yeshiva. So, in terms of why that should be, why your Maisa Chazaka can only acquire you one type of property and not different types of property. So he quotes a pasuk that speaks to this idea. So yes, you're going to do a proprietary act in order to acquire, but you're only allowed to acquire one type of property. Since there are two different types of property, so therefore you're only going to get the single property that you do the proprietary act towards. Continuing in the Gemara, the Gemara says, I'm telling you what, I'm bothered by a Gemara that we've seen already a number of times. Shmuel taught us. We saw this Gemara. I'm cheating. I'm looking at the side. We saw this Gemara in Kedushin, in Baba Kama. Okay? It's, I think we saw it also earlier in Baba Basra. Either way. Okay. Shmuel made the statement. Machalo Eser Sados Baser Medinos. If I make a purchase of 10 fields in 10 different geographic locations, I do a proprietary act in one of them, I acquire all 10. So we're at somewhat of an impasse. We just said that when you're purchasing a metzula and a chulsis, right, a riverbed and the sand, and even if they're proximate to one another, a proprietary act will only acquire one, not the other. And meanwhile, here I'm purchasing 10 fields in 10 different geographic locations, and with a proprietary act to one, I acquire all of them. So says Shmuel, that's the halacha. So obviously we're somewhat at an impasse. The Gemara's answer, Hasam hu desadna da'arachadhu v'kula cha tashmishtahu. So the Gemara says, look, in the purchasing of 10 fields, so check and check. We get two checks. Check number one, that even though they are distant from one another, but they are all connected to the same earth. So, check number two, functionally speaking, they're the same. It's fields. And so since they are connected geographically by the earth, physically by the earth, and also they are all functionally the same thing, so that provides two checks, and therefore I could do a chazak on one that'll acquire all. But over here, when it comes to the mitzula and it comes to the chulsis, since functionally, yes, geographically, they're connected. So then that, they get to check. But on the issue of functionality, since functionally they're different, so therefore I have to do different proprietary acts to both of these properties. Ika de Amri, the Gemara says, another version of this very same discussion, and that is Amarab Nachman, Ichli Bechulsis Kanabe, Mitzula Pshita. That here in the second version, we're saying that you do acquire both, even though you're doing a proprietary act on only one of the two. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Now, here it's funny because in the first version, the Gemara not only thought but concluded the other way. Here, the Gemara concludes that a chazak on one gets both, and the Gemara follows it up with a Pshita. Like it's really the second version over here is the total 180 of where we were in the first version, the first lashon of the Gemara. So pshita da amar Shmuel machalo asasados v'chulei, and the Gemara says, and after you know the halacha of Shmuel, like why would I have even thought differently? So the Gemara says, ma'u detei ma'asam hu desad nadar echadu aval hacha hatash mishal echudu v'tash mishal echudu kamash malan, and the Gemara says, well, what the Gemara suggested earlier as being the difference, the Gemara over here in the second lashon uses it as a havamina. A havamina, of course, that's rejected, but at least as a havamina, I would have thought that since functionally, one is for sin and the other one is for panning for gold, so therefore functionally they're different, and therefore I'm going to, I can't do a chazak on one that will allow me to acquire the other. Okay, I'll stop here with the Beis Abad. Tomorrow I'll start up with the Beis Abad. Just a quick recap. Again, the question of the strobel and the milrein. Made apart from the ground, connected to the ground. So is that considered part and parcel of the ground? So the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, Rabbi Elazar's shita is very clear. It is considered part and parcel of the ground, and the Gemara says that's the conclusion. The Gemara, I'll be fair in my summary. The Gemara doesn't say that. But it seems like from the Gemara that that's the conclusion. The Rashbam says it very clearly that that's the conclusion. And the reason why is because from that point going forward, the Gemara assumes like Rabbi Eliezer. And now when I put something into the ground, it's not considered part of the ground. So in terms of nafkaminas, the Gemara said today, that in terms of mukhsha l'kabel tumah, if I want the eitzroblin to get wet and then that water goes on to food, it's not going to be mukhsha l'kabel tumah, because the eitzroblin is considered mechubel karka. If I'm paying off ksuva, mizonos, parnasa, so the eitzroblin is considered part of the ground, and therefore that is earmarked towards those payments. We talked this morning about the Takanas HaGaonim, where the Gaonim expanded a woman's right to collect her ksuva from money, in addition to property, but the Rashbam was of the opinion, but that didn't extend to the dowry. And then we started with the sale of a chatzir. Again, I point out as a general rule, the larger piece of property that you're selling, the more that's included in that sale. The chatzir, the sale of the chatzir includes more housing, pits, wells, etc., etc. And then a discussion today regarding various terminologies in terms of whether it includes a more expansive inclusion, a more limited inclusion. And then we finished off today talking about making a chazaka on one property and whether that allows you to get the another property, even though functionally it's different. The Gemara had two lashonos. The halacha falls like the second lashon, that even though functionally it's not the same, but still a chazaka on one property will acquire for you the other property as well.